imparted them to all men, as every man had need, and they continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. You may be seated. Heavenly Father, you've already said it. Your word has already gone forth in one form. One mother, now I just ask, as the seed has begun to be planted, that you, through this time, in your word tonight, water this seed and grow this seed so it produce the harvest your people, that you will have them to experience. Father, I yield myself to be used right now in any way, shape, or form that you see fit. Move all of me out of the way so that the people see, hear, and experience nothing but you tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So this past Sunday, the Lord showed us why unity within the family of God is so important, and how it has an impact on our testimony, our witness, and our credibility. And I think we got a pretty good understanding of why it's so important, and we saw the consequences that take place when we're not unified. We learned that if the church is torn up, or the church is a wreck, and it's filled with rotten, spoiled people, it's going to negatively affect the entire environment. Remember to clean out the refrigerator. You have no idea what I'm talking about. You got to get the CD from Sunday. So the question is, now that we know why, how do we get there? The answer to that question is found in the scripture we're really going to break down tonight, in Philippians chapter 2. Verses 1 through 5. comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife and vain glory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. I'm going to read this again out of the CEV, Contemporary English Version. If you don't have a CEV, get a CEV. It's a great translation. Read this in CEV because if I do that, I can really see now because it preaches itself. Contemporary English Version of that same text says, Christ encourages you and his love comforts you. God's Spirit unites you, and you are concerned for others. Now make me completely happy. Live in harmony by showing love for each other. Be united in what you think as if you were only one person. Don't be jealous or proud, but be humble and consider others more important than yourselves. Care about them as much as you care about yourselves. And think the same way that Christ Jesus thought. Preaches itself. There's five, but since we got a little bit of time, I'm just going to take a few minutes here. There's five things the Apostle Paul points out to us that we need to do in order to transition from a collection of individual believers to a unified body. Those five things are, we must love one another. Jesus said the way the world would know we were his disciples is if we love one another. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians that of faith, hope, and love, the greatest of them is love. And he tells us again that if we have all the gifts of the Spirit flowing in our midst and operating in our midst, and all this wonderful stuff's going on, if we don't have love, we're wasting our time. We're wasting our time. What the world needs now is love, sweet love. What the church needs now is love, sweet love. It's the only thing that's that there's just too little love. You're too, you know, you are too. Healing doesn't happen without love. Number two is we must be like-minded and have singleness of heart. If we're not all pressing toward the same mark of the same high calling, we're not going to be unified. So, Pastor, forgive me for the analogy I'm going to use tonight, because I know you fast and sports during this 40-day period. The football season starts in a couple days. And the beautiful thing about football is that it makes everybody on the team go the same way and strive toward the same goal. If the team's going to have any kind of success, if I'm running this way and you're running that way, we're going to have chaos. I think in this house I can use this analogy because in traditional churches this would get me kicked out. Okay. But I'm going to go for it. I feel safe here. When we break down what our coming together on Sunday mornings is and Tuesday nights are, if we break it down in its truest sense, we're gathering together in the huddle to hear the play call for us by the Holy Spirit, who is our coach through the man or woman of God who is serving as our quarterback. And we can't hear that play without first entering the praise and worship. That's why there's cheering going on first. Okay? And when we leave here, we're breaking the huddle and going out into the world, which is ministry, to execute the play that he called for us. So as players on the team, Team Jesus, we have to each know what our purpose is as players and know what our role is and fulfill that purpose so the team can fulfill its purpose. We gotta be like-minded and driving down the field. Fields that are white with harvest, driving down that field toward the same goal. That's why there can't be any bench riders on the team. Everybody's in the game, and we can't drop the ball. Because he's called the play for us to execute. Unity doesn't happen without being like-minded and having singleness of heart. Third thing is we gotta have humility. On any first.